You are about to hear Dr. T.L. Osborne of Tulsa, Oklahoma, USA. T.L. has already shared the gospel to millions of people in more than 80 nations of the world. He has seen miraculous signs and wonders again and again as he teaches the truth of Jesus Christ. Now, in this recording, you will experience the anointing of Dr. Osborne's powerful ministry firsthand as he shares this dynamic message.
I want to talk about why healing is God's passion and what biblical healing means in our world. Ideas that have kept me inspired. Truths that have anchored our ministry through these many years. Concepts that have kept me balanced. Facts that have kept my faith alive. Matthew 4:23-24, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and disease among the people. That's our ministry, isn't it? That's not the ministry of the church per se. That's the ministry of every minister. It's the ministry of every person, of every Christian, of every believer. His fame went throughout the country. They brought to him all sick people with divers diseases and torments, and those possessed with devils and lunatics, and those with paralysis, and he healed them. We're healers. That's our mission. And great multitudes followed him. Multitudes will follow us when we heal them. The closing day of our meeting in Madurai, India, there was a great field of people, probably 100,000 people. It was so beautiful, out on a big flat field, and the platform was covered full of Indian preachers, pastors, all in their white clothes, beautiful. And as they sang, I asked them to wave their hand, and they did, and it looked like a field of ripened grain, their brown skin, and the sun was bright. It really looked beautiful. And as they waved and sang, it was like heaven, you know. And I hollered while everybody sang. I said, preachers, because some of the Indian preachers needed perking up a little bit. You know, they can tend to be a little hesitant. And I said, preachers, look at your country. Your country is saying to you, preach me your Christ with miracles and we'll follow you. That's what they're saying. Preach me the Jesus of miracles and we'll follow what you tell us to do. I believe that. Great multitudes followed him. John 17, he said, as thou, Father, hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. You can't make it any clearer than that. He came and showed us how to do it. One of the great things that Daisy said, she was full of little short statements like this, but she said one day, honey, why did Jesus come? And I puckered up to give her a good pontifical answer, like we husbands do to our wives, you know. And I saw a twinkle in her eye, and I figured I better shut up. And I listened. She said, he came to show us God. Well, I said, that's what I was going to tell you. But she said, that's not all. He came also to show us. And I had never heard anybody say that. As my Father has sent you, even so sent me, even so send I you. And lo, I am with you alway, even to the end of the world. You can't beat that. That's reliable. You can count on it. I count on that. That's not something to read. That's not just words to me. That's not a ritual or a ceremony. I believe that. When you walk out on a platform amidst a sea of hurting people, surrounded by demoniacs, lepers, witch doctors, people dying and crying and moaning, when you walk out there, you cling to something. What you cling to are promises like that. Lo, I am with you always. And when I walk out there, I practice, as Kenyon said so often, wrote so often, practice the presence of Jesus. I believe in Paul's revelation, Christ in you, in me. Jesus Christ alive in me, in the same way that God was alive in Christ. You believe that? I believe that. And when I walk out there before those people, I depend on that. That must be fact. Otherwise, there's not anything I can do for those people. I don't happen to have any tingles or gifts or blessings or touches or fires or anything in me that I've never had anything like that. I'm nothing at all, but I have this. And this is what I bank on. He has chosen us. He trusts us. He sends us. I'm talking to you. He sends us to heal the hurting people of our world, to value and to esteem them as His special creation, to love and serve Him by loving and serving them. That's the secret. I want to plant some dynamic seeds in you about the believer's mission of healing. Seed power is ultimate power. Seed power is the only absolute true prophecy. What is planted will come up. You can bank on wheat if you plant wheat. Never fails. True prophecy. We have the power to plant what the people need, and we can bank on it if we trust it. The greatest parable Jesus gave concerned seed power. And we must ponder this until we come to the place we trust the seed. We believe in the seed. Often believers need to take a fresh look at life to realize how they can help heal a broken world. The worst disease that a person can have is the deadly virus of a surrendered will, of an empty life of neutrality, without focus, without commitment to do something. When you reach that place, you're dying. The greatest revelation that God has ever given to humankind is sending Jesus to show us that His will is to bring health and dynamic living to people. That is His mission. That is our mission. That keeps a smile on our face, a spring in our steps. We're not duds. We're somebody arrived important, with something good to say to everybody. We have life, and we transmit that life. That's his mission. That's our mission. I'm alive. He's alive. I'm alive. God is a life giver. He can even give life to the dead. You know how we know that? He came back from the dead. If he had not come back from the dead, we cannot be raised from the dead. But he came back, we can come back. If you're dead tonight, spiritually, if you're dragging, if you've lost the fire that this conference was put on to share with you, come alive tonight. So many people are already dead while their hearts are still beating. That's a tragedy. In one way or another, they've lost their dreams, their ambitions, their desires for a better life. It's tragic to lose that. They've surrendered their fight for self-esteem. They've compromised their potential. They've settled. What a tragedy to settle for mediocrity. Don't do it. They've accepted nights of tears. Don't do it. They're dead while they live. Don't die when your heart's still beating. They're boxed in their negative world. They've chosen to give up. Don't do it. As long as you can move, don't do it. As long as you can talk and touch and bless, you can heal. You're a healer for the world. Don't do it. People have chosen to die when they could choose to live. Tonight, those kind of people, if there's anybody like that left in this fire conference on this closing night, you can experience the greatest miracle in the world. You can come back from the dead tonight. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thing to be able to say that with conviction and know it can take place. That's the healing that God wills for you. That's every Christian's mission of healing. In my book, The Best of Life, on page 131, I wrote something that is good for people like that. I wrote this: God has given me a power secret which I alone control. Soak this up. Listen to it. Get it off the tape. Repeat it. Get the book. Read it. It is my right of choice, my ability to decide how much I want out of life, how high I want to climb, how rich I want to be, how long I want to live, how much power I want to have, or what goals I want to reach. Say, I'm listening. I'm listening. Say, I'm hearing. I inform myself. I set my targets and I achieve my goals because I choose to win. I have decided that God and me cannot be losers together. Are you hearing me? Somebody's hearing me, or I wouldn't have been impressed to bring this to you. I recognize that God is at work in me. I can't afford to ignore him. He does not reduce himself to my standard, but raises me to his standard. I have chosen and I have decided to get life's best. Have you? Say, I have. Because I am God's best. Say, because I am God's best. He created me in his likeness, first class all the way. I ought to be having you repeat these things. Do you believe them? Hallelujah. They're real. They're real. We are the people of God. We're the nobility of the kingdom of God on this planet. We're here for a glorious purpose. It's in our hands. His mastership is in me. The only person who can limit me is me, because I make my own decisions. I choose life, success, happiness, health, and prosperity. I have decided. Have you decided something? I have. Have you decided to die before your time? Or have you decided you will not die before your time? You will live life to its fullness. Young people, watch it. It can happen to young people. They can get down on themselves. Don't do it. You've got life before you. Young people are committing suicide all across the country. They're doing crazy things. I'm talking to you. I have decided to say yes to God's best, because that alone glorifies Him. That alone fulfills my life. And that alone makes my world better. That is every believer's healing mission. There are only two essentials in our believer's mission of healing. Number one, what do we believe? And number two, what do we do about it? That's all. Romans, you know it, 10:10, with the mouth. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. That's what we believe. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Our mission of healing, our calling, our commitment, our focus is, you ready? Listen, to serve God by serving people. Get the tape and copy these lines down. To see God through seeing people. To recognize God by respecting people. Well, that'll stretch you a little bit. I don't want to insist on it too strong, but ponder it. Ponder it. See what God will show you out of these lines. To learn of God by observing people. Yeah, think about it. People are not to be ignored. God is in them. To discover God by discovering the value of people. Don't tell me you believe in God and don't believe in people. And you think everybody is a skeptic. No, no. That reflects your attitude toward God. To connect with God by relationship with people. Say, I like it. Tell me some more. Okay, I'm glad you asked. Communicate with God by rapport with people. You ever thought of that? Don't tell me you can talk to God when you can't talk to people. Don't tell me God turns you on when people turn you off. No. We find God. Jesus said, what you do to the least of these people, you do to me. Our mission is to glorify God. How? By putting up our hands. That's good. We do that. But no, by esteeming people. That glorifies God. You ever think of that? We can't run around criticizing, condemning everybody and then come and glorify God. No, that don't work that way. I'm talking about our mission of healing. The world needs healing. You don't need religion. Needs healing. To honor God by valuing people. To love God by honoring people. To walk with God by walking with people. You ever think of that? Yeah, that may give you a new slant on things. Think it over. Don't make a doctrine out of it. I'm just trying to think of something to stir you up on this fire conference. Make you go home happy with new ideas, something to preach about, something to motivate you to study the scriptures and preach better. See? Our mission. We're saved and we become saviors. We're healed and we become healers. We're lifted. We're lifted and we become lifter-uppers of people. We're blessed and we become blessers. For some mysterious reason, I grasped that concept early in life. I was saved at the age of 12. I began to preach in the little country church at the age of 15. I was married at the age of 18. I became a missionary to India, Daisy and I did, at 21 and 22. Why? Simply because we didn't have a call or anything, but we just felt they needed what we knew about Jesus more than people in our country, so we went to them. We went to the needy people. We failed because we didn't know much. But we came home, and when we came home, God was merciful to us and knew it was our ignorance. You know, we were brokenhearted. We loved the people. We wanted to help them. We saw the millions of people, but we came home brokenhearted. But we learned the most valuable lesson. The most valuable lesson that I can imagine. We learned that Christianity is a miracle way of life. And without miracles, Christianity is only a philosophy. Bishop Reed from England says, no Jesus, no miracles, no Jesus. He harps on that. That's a good thing to harp on. We came home brokenhearted, and that was when the Lord was very merciful to us. We wanted to find someone that knew about miracles because we didn't know about it. We had prayed for sick people in our ministry before. We were Pentecostal, but nothing happened that I can remember. So we hadn't seen miracles, and we were heartbroken. But we saw the most important thing. We saw the masses of people and the emptiness of religion, dead religion. That affected us for life. So when we came home, we wanted to find someone that knew about miracles. We heard about Smith Wigglesworth. We were going to go to his meeting, and he died. So we heard about Amy McPherson. We had heard about her. We were going to go to the temple and see those big cases of stretchers and crutches and canes and all that stuff. And she died just before we went. And so we were near the Assemblies of God campgrounds in Oregon, at Brooks, Oregon. So we heard the good news that Dr. Charles Price was going to be the speaker that year. So we were going to go. He was a miracle man. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. We had taken a whole stack of his Golden Grain magazines with us to India and read. And so we were anxious to hear him, and he died. Three in a row, right when we were in agony looking for anybody with miracles. And he died. And so then they told us that Hattie Hammond was going to preach, was going to be the speaker. So we thought, well, we'll go. We'll go. It's not very far. We'll go listen to her. And that woman, a great woman of God. We didn't know her before. We hadn't heard of her. A great woman of God. Probably the greatest woman preacher the Assemblies of God ever had. She was one of the great instrumentalities of bringing Pentecost into the historic church denominations. Very talented woman. And she preached on the subject, if you ever see Jesus, you'll never be the same again, out of John chapter 1. Everybody running to see Jesus and getting somebody, bringing them to see Jesus. And we went home weeping, wiping tears to watch the road. And the next morning, at 6 o'clock, Jesus walked in our bedroom and I saw him. As the first of four visions, God gave me four visions. I don't tell this often because I don't want people to chase visions. I needed something. I didn't have the kind of teaching you have. Today, we have truth, marvelous truth. We don't need to chase visions, but I needed something. And I saw Jesus when he came in the room. It changed my life forever. I lay there from 6 o'clock in the morning until 2 o'clock in the afternoon before I could move. When I came out, I said, took Daisy in my arms. I said, honey, we're not preaching a dead religion. We're preaching a living Christ. He's risen. He's Lord. I knew he was alive. It changed my life forever. And that's as fresh today as ever. And right on the heels of that, a man of God came to Portland. All the churches of Portland put on a big joint healing campaign, which was a very rare thing to do back then. And all the people came. 8,000 people packed that big auditorium. And this man came and preached the gospel in such a simple way. And when he made me think of Jesus. He was so simple in his presentation. When he made an invitation for people to be saved, hundreds of them came forward. I wanted to do that. I lived for that. And so God let us see that. And when I watched him, and then he prayed for the sick, and miracles took place. And I watched him, and I had my second vision. I saw Jesus in a person. I saw Jesus in that man. That's where he is. That's where he works. That's where he ministers. That's where he lives today. He was in a Jew, but now he's in you. You understand that? Never forget that. Never forget that. And so that was a second vision. So we were so overwhelmed with the magnitude of this demonstration that we saw before our eyes. We didn't go to bed. We opened our Bible, sat down at our breakfast table, and began to read. And that's where we found all of these scriptures that are in the New Testament. We read the Bible through every year, but we missed all these verses. We missed them. And we found that Jesus had given to his followers power and authority to cast out devils and to heal the sick and to cleanse lepers. He gave it to them. They had it. They could go do it. They went out and proved it, come back and said, it works. And we were overwhelmed, and that was the third vision. We saw Jesus in his word. And we looked at each other, goggle-eyed, and said, well, there's nothing left for us to do but to do something about it. We've got it figured out. It's true. Let's do it. So we ran ads in the paper and invited the people to church to bring the sick. They brought them, and we preached. I guess I preached pretty good. Lots of people got saved, and we called the people that were sick and laid hands on them, and glory be, they were healed. It was marvelous. Little deaf and dumb girl healed, a woman with her hip crushed 14 years earlier, and her leg was 6 inches shorter, drawn up because an incompetent doctor had set the bones crooked. And we heard those bones crack as it straightened out. And we had our fourth vision. I discovered Jesus in me. Jesus in me. That's the Pauline revelation. You haven't understood redemption until you understand that. The reason Christ can be in us is because he's paid for us so that our sins are expunged forever what the blood of bulls and goats can never do. But Jesus did it for us. They had to bring offerings again and again and again. But Jesus came once. Once. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And redeemed us. We have to get Paul's revelation straight. We are redeemed. It's different. Everything concerning our approachment to God changed when Jesus died on the cross. Everything changed. All the old system became obsolete. All of it. You ever think about that? When John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world," they cut his head off. Because if that was true, if the sins of the world could be taken away, then all that they were, all of their sacrifices that they were bringing to offer to God were no longer efficacious, no longer needed. They didn't need to bring him. Everything changed. Isn't it shocking to think about it? Didn't need the priests anymore. Didn't need the temple anymore. Didn't need the altar anymore. Didn't need the place to offer the lambs anymore. Didn't need any of that. A new way was opened. And who was the way? Jesus was the way. And when he came and he redeemed us, then we could be new people. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. Every life here has purpose, a divine purpose, a divine mission of healing. We can all be healers. We are meant to be healers. We need to grasp the big picture. My daughter, Dr. LaDonna, wrote a book, The Big Picture. Get it. It's wonderful. It's being scattered all over Russia and several other countries. The big picture. It's very important. We all need to see God's big plan. Discover our meaning. What do we mean to our world? We need to discover the reason we are here and why we live and the power of love. I wrote that book, Why, after Daisy died. When she died, we took all of her insurance money and sent it to Russia to the press and bought books and scattered them all across the country. I had to either stay home and feel sorry for myself or go to Russia. And so we went to Russia, to 10 countries, to 10 cities across Russia, big auditoriums, every one of them packed out, and that saved me. That helped me. But that happened because I decided to love again. I decided I must keep on loving. I wasn't going to get married again, but I could love again. I could live again. I must live. I must love. I must heal. I must bless. I must reach out. And that's what happened. That's why that book has been such a blessing. I wasn't going to print it in Russia. We printed 10 books. And the people, there were two women in the press who could read English. And they read that book. And they begged me. They came to beg me, please include this one in Russia. I said, no, 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 no. That's the story of my woes after I lost my wife. That's my lessons that I learned. No, no, no. This is for Russia. I said, why do you say that? They said, Russia is hurting. Russia is hurting. Throughout the 70 years of communism, our families have been split up. Our husbands and wives have been torn from each other. Children have been taken off and turned into state institutions. Russia is hurting. Russia is souring. Russia is lonely. Did you know I get more letters from Russia from precious people that were hurting? That book helped them in Russia. Isn't that beautiful? Listen, listen. We're healers. We're healers. That's our mission. He saves us. Then he sends us as healers. Listen to the Great Commission in common language. You ever think about reading it in common language? Let me give you some lines here. They're interesting. Go, Jesus said, we know all this King James stuff, but listen to it in my lingo. Just real common stuff. Just boiling it down to essence. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What does that mean, really? I wrote down, go tell what Christ's death did for people. See? Go tell what Jesus, how Jesus died. Go tell it to people. Those who believe and are baptized will be saved. I wrote down, believing your report, they'll be converted. Simple. Next one. These signs will follow them that believe. I wrote down, miracles will take place when they get this new life. You believe it? This is what we have a hold of. This is what we are. These are the kind of people we are. We're charged with this kind of stuff. In my name they shall cast out devils. Devils will obey you. Don't worry about them. Simple. Keep it simple. They'll speak with new tongues. Yeah? What did I write down? You talk on new levels to rich people and poor people alike, to politicians, to business people, to chemical dependents, to the sick. You talk new languages. Nice way of looking at it. Yeah, I believe in new tongues, but I also believe talking on different levels. Talk to anybody. When we are the people of God that walk with God, we can talk to anybody and they'll listen to us. We're masters. Don't look at me like that. Say, I like it. Yeah, good. Because what you have, everybody wants. Get it in your head. What you have, everybody wants. That's what keeps me going. My world is so hungry for me. When I arrive and walk up on the platform, they look at me in awe. What is this? A saint or an angel or what? What is this? And to be honored to tell them about this Jesus and what he's paid for. There's nothing like it. You can heal. Hallelujah. They'll take up serpents. And if they drink in a deadly thing, it will not hurt them. I wrote down just some stuff. You'll overpower the evil that degrades society. You believe that? We're healers. We're lifters. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I wrote down, you'll touch people with new love that cures sickness and restores hopelessness. Just our presence. People that have given up on life will come back to life and say, I can go again. Just because they meet us. Are you that kind of a person? Become that kind. That when you get there, you're wearing a smile and your eyes twinkle. And there's a spring in your step. You're not a drag. Stand up and if there's going to be a step, take it good. Nobody wants a drag. You won't turn them on and then you'll be mad at them and go home and criticize them because they don't believe in you. Let the sun rise in your face. Love people. They depend on you. This is a fire conference, a love conference. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Believe in your touch. Christ is in you. When I touch people, I'm conscious that there's a power in me they can't see. I depend on that power. Everybody thinks it's some anointing I've got. It's not. Everybody thinks it's some gift I've got. It's not. This is not dead. This is alive. I mean, I love you that are anointed. I wish I had some. But I can talk. I can touch. I can walk. I can preach. I can witness. Hallelujah. And the poor devil can't do a thing about it. He has to back off when I get there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe that. I believe that. I really, really believe that. The foundation for our healing compassion is Isaiah 53. You know that. Surely the prophet yearns and groans. Oh, for heaven's sake, be sure that you know that he's borne the diseases of everybody. They don't need to be sick. Tell them. I get to yelling when I get all warmed up and get happy. I can't help it. It's a habit. I've been at it too long. Surely. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity, chastisement of our peace upon him. With his stripes we are healed. For sure. When Jesus returned from the wilderness, where he had been tempted of Satan for 40 days, the Bible says he returned in the power. Hey, listen to me. He returned to show you how. He came back. He whipped the devil out there, and he came back to illustrate to you and me how to minister. Preachers, young people, if the preachers don't catch on to this, you young people catch on to it. Everything Jesus says about his Father in the Gospels, you can say about the Father. Now read that with a new insight. Read the Gospels with new insight and understand he is trying to show you how to talk about the Father. He's trying to show you what to do with the Father. He's trying to show you, he's come to show you how the Father wants you to be. Yes, he came to show us the Father's will. The Father's will hasn't changed. The Father's will was in him. The Father's will is in me. Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, T.L. Osborne. You believe that? I believe that. You better believe that, or don't go out there where there's demons. They'll spook you out of town. I'm trying to get enough time to go down there to Brazil and help those Brazilians because they all believe in devils. God bless the Brazilians. They got some of the greatest churches, but they're so devil conscious, it's a shame. I know those preachers, and I fuss with them, and I talk to them. They show me books. They've written books. They've got the pictures of demons. They've got the pictures on the books. I say, for heaven's sake, don't publish for the devil. Let him pay his own bill. Yeah. Who in the world would put on a big campaign or build a big church and beautiful pulpit and air conditioning and everything and then get up and let the devil use it free? Let him pay his own bill. If he wants an audience, let him go get one, build a building, get a crowd on his own so that he can pay the bill while he brags on himself. Don't let the Holy Ghost filled preachers do it. I don't like that. I don't like that. I won't. I won't. Poor devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I didn't even look at my watch when I started, but I know it's bound to be getting time to quit. We know he came from the wilderness. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Me too. What spirit is on you? Hey, where'd you come from? Every place in the New Testament, Jesus said, God sent me. Every book of John, except two, or maybe I think it's two,
Was it two or three? Anyone know? I think it's two. Jesus said, I'm Son of God. Evidently, that was important to him, to tell the people that God sent him. Every time I go overseas, I go out on a platform, opening night. Did you know I walk out there? I don't walk out there boastfully or bragging, but humbly. I walk out there. I love the people. They can feel that. I tell them how far I've come across the ocean to come to them because I'm sent from God to them. God loves them. I tell them God loves you. God has been thinking of you. And all across this planet, he found me, a common preacher, a messenger of his, and he sent me to you. And I've come. Here I am. What I'm going to say to you is from him. That's what Jesus said. He said, the words that I speak to you, it's the Father that gave me the words. Do you tell people that? Hey, who sent you? What do you believe about yourself? If you don't believe God sent you, stay home. If you do believe God sent you, act like it. We know about this Spirit of God that's upon us. But the suffering world doesn't know it. That, therefore, is our mission of healing. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. God anointed T.L. Osborne with the Holy Ghost. Same Holy Ghost. Say, God anointed me with the same Holy Ghost. Let him function. Let him function. You can do it. Believe in it. He said, you'll touch people and heal them. Believe who's in you when you touch people. I walked down off the platform one night in the Philippines. Stadium was full, packed. They just jammed everywhere. And I looked down there, and I saw a little woman standing there holding her little boy. And his head was great big, and his eyes were distorted. They looked awful, awful, waterhead. And so while they were singing, they were having some worship. While they did that, I just slipped. Nobody knows. I slipped down and got out among the people and got close to her. Why did I do that? Well, I'm no big king. I didn't want to go down there and make a show of myself, but I just had compassion on the boy. And I thought, well, why not? I've got time. Go down and at least comfort the mother. And I went down there, and I laid my hands on that little boy's head, comforted the little mother because they can speak English there, so I could talk. And you know what? The next day, when I walked up on the platform, and they were singing again, I looked down there, and I saw that woman again. And I called my interpreter. You have to interpret in Tagalog, but you can talk English with people. But in general. So I called my interpreter. I said, hey, is that the same woman that I went down there to last night that had the waterhead baby? He said, yeah, she's come back tonight to give thanks, public testimony for what God did. Now, who did that? You think I did that? No. No, Jesus will do wonders if you'll let him. Let him. But you know, we in America and the charismatic world are so conscious about being sure everybody knows our gift and our anointing and all this holy stuff. And seem like we hesitate to give, just let him have the honor. He does it. Call it anointing, call it gift, call it whatever makes you tick good. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that. These are all Bible terms. They're beautiful. Use them. Go for it. He does the work. Turn him loose. Believe in Jesus in you. That's what turned Paul on. Paul got the revelation. Why didn't the guys that followed Jesus get that revelation? You ever think about that? Not a one of them.
And God had to go get an ex-rabbi. You know, I've thought a lot about that. Did I cut that too short? Are you thinking? I said, why did God call Paul? Paul was a rabbi. Paul hated the Christians. Paul was out to destroy them. Why did God call him? And I thought maybe it was because he knew the scriptures. He was a rabbi, so he could quote the whole Old Testament verbatim. Maybe. That's not for doctrine. I'm just talking. Thank God, Paul received the revelation that Jesus is in us. Hallelujah. God anointed Jesus, and he anointed me. I believe in the anointing. The world needs healing, not only for sick bodies, but for sick lives and sick homes and sick relationships and broken confidence and broken hearts and broken trust. Needs to be healed. It's being healed tonight while I'm talking. Jesus is the only answer to our broken and sick world. No religion can tell people what we can tell people. You're here from all over the world. Many of you are here tonight. You can testify what we tell the people in these other countries. No religion tells them. What do the Buddhists tell them? Nice things, but not what we tell them. What do the Shintoists tell them? What do the Muslims tell them? No. We have the best message in the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We went to India, failed, came back, went again. Hallelujah. That time we didn't fail. Now what a pleasure it is to stand before a multitude of people and proclaim the good news, knowing the power of the gospel. The first mass miracle crusade in history. You don't know about it? You want to know about it? It took place in Ponce, Puerto Rico. We went there. I had talked with Brother Bosworth in Michigan. We were 5 weeks together in the Masonic Temple. He said, Brother, he pondered this. He said, if you could take 100 sinners, line them up, and you tell them all the same gospel at the same time, and they all heard it, and they all believed it, and then you led them in a prayer to accept Jesus, and they all accepted him. Well, now listen to this, you preachers that are, you need this. Listen, and they all accepted it at one time. How many of them would be saved? He'd chuckle and say, all of them. He said, even the Baptists would agree with that. True. Baptists would agree with that. And they're good people. John Osteen said, God bless the Baptists. You know. Then he said, okay, let's take 100 sick people and line them up and tell them the same gospel. And they all accept it. And they all believe it. And you lead them a prayer. How many of them be healed? I said, all of them. Well, I had to prove that. I believed that. That had to be true. So I went to an auditorium in Flint, Michigan. And the first time, and I called for everyone that was deaf to come forward. There were 53. So in my mind, okay, I was facing 53 devils. You know, I call everybody sick, they had a devil. I believe deafness is of the devil. So I lectured all of them. They all believed. We all rejoiced together. I prayed for all of them, commanded the deaf spirits to leave them. Got through. We lined them up, not to pray for them, but to test them. And those days, Daisy had one of those little, beautiful little Elgin ladies' watches about as big as your fingernail. Little bitty thing, almost nothing to them. But we checked every one of them with her little Elgin watch. Perfect. Except there were three that couldn't hear it. I said, come back. Keep check this week. Let us know. Before Friday, those three came back. It was 100%. That's God's will. That's God's will. 100 sinners be saved. And so when we went to Puerto Rico, after that occasion with Brother Bosworth, then we went to Puerto Rico, and there we tried to get the mayor to give us the ball field because we had faith for a great campaign, and he was stubborn and wouldn't do it. So we had to go in an auditorium that seated around 1,400 or 1,500 people. I forget exactly how many. And we preached, and it was so beautiful. And so many miracles happened. There was a very wealthy person in Ponce, very wealthy, and their daughter had polio, and she had braces and crutches. And they had those braces and crutches gold-plated, not brass, not shiny brass, gold-plated. They were wealthy people. And she came across there, and she was healed. Hallelujah. And we threw those beautiful crutches that scarred them up awful, threw them down there. And the next night, the whole town tried to get in that building, almost tore it down, and the mayor came, and the chief of police, and the fire chief all came begging us, please, if we close the meeting tonight, you can go to the ballpark tomorrow. And that's how the first mass, wait, that's not the whole story. We went the next night. The great field was packed to the borders, every direction, and so I got real smart, and I said, I know how to do it. I'm smart. I know how. And so I printed cards and put big numbers on them and gave everybody a card so they would have a place in the prayer line. Look what a strain we go through when God makes it so easy. But we tried to give them cards, and they almost killed each other to get the cards. So that didn't work. But I'm smart. I said, oh, I got another idea. So we had about 20 policemen there help us control the people. So we said, we'll give the cards to the policemen. And the policemen can't handle it. Good. So we gave the cards to the policemen. And the policemen, we found out the next day, they were selling them for $10 apiece. And only wealthy people could get in the... So that's how the first mass miracle service took place. That's how. And I was driven to it. And being driven to it, all this stuff from Brother Bosworth and what I had proven in Flint, Michigan, all that was coming back to me, and that's where it began. And it's been that way ever since. Now almost 60 years. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful? God makes it so beautiful. I thought you might enjoy that. But I want you people to know that in that meeting, God did such wonderful things. So many beautiful miracles. There were 11 lepers one night. Came, sneaked out of the leprosarium, came and hid under the stadium. Well, one or two of the preachers knew about it. They didn't spread the word, because if the word got out, the police would come and arrest them and take them back. So we didn't want that to happen. So I wondered what to do. And so all of a sudden, I told one of the preachers, go get them and bring them up on the platform. Bring them up. So we brought those 11 lepers. That was a ghastly sight. Bless their hearts. And they lined up on the platform. And the talk about fire. That fire that this conference is about was burning in me and Daisy. And we laid our hands on, not on the cloth, on their skin. We pulled the cloth back. We were ready. Hallelujah. This fire will burn up anything. You believe that? I believe it. What we have, the whole world wants, folks. Say, I believe it. We went down the line. Prayed a simple prayer. That the people may know that the gospel is unchanged. May the spirit of leprosy leave this person. In Jesus' name. Short, concise. Next one. We pull the clothes back. Put our hand down the way. Hallelujah. When it was all over, then we called the police, said, you can take them back. They took them back. It wasn't very long before we got a letter from Puerto Rico. You that anybody here from Puerto Rico, check up on that. You can check it out. You can verify it. A letter came. Yeah, check it up. A letter came. One of them had been released. A pastor wrote and said, one of them had been released, cured, released back to society. It wasn't but a month or two till we got another letter. Within 2 years, we received 11 letters. All of those lepers were healed and released back to freedom. What we've got is the best thing in the world. Nobody has what we have. No Muslim can heal a leper. I got in the car, in the little Volkswagen van in Hyderabad, India, was trying to get out the gate, and so many people trying to get through that gate. And this one guy, he was pounding. He wouldn't quit pounding. I said to the driver, I said, this guy really wants to talk to me. Stop and let's let him talk. And so we stopped, and I pulled the door back, and he fell in on my legs and hugged my legs and looked up at me so beautiful. He said, Brother Osborne, I'm Pastor so-and-so from Madurai. I'm a pastor of a big church. Said, I was a leper when you came to Madurai a few years ago, and I came and was healed. See. What we've got is the best thing in the world. We're the healers of the world. Let God, Jehovah, Rapha, heal through you. Turn him loose. Believe in him. Practice the presence of Jesus. God's priority is healing people. When Jesus came, angel said, don't be afraid. I bring you the most joyful news ever announced. It's for everyone. A Savior has been born. Savior. Savior. Savior from what? Savior from disease. Savior from failure. Savior from poverty. Savior from religion. Savior from inferiority. Savior from self-dignity. Savior from sin. The Savior has been born. I've found him. I've connected. Are you? God's priority is healing people. Our mission is healing people. We heal people when we show them self-worth. We heal people when we lift them out of negativism. We heal people when we inspire them to partner with God. Are you? Say, I'm hearing you. We heal people when we cause people to discover their potential. Self-value comes from knowledge. Inferiority comes from lack of knowledge. When you drag in and are ashamed of before everybody, you don't know what I know. I'm a farmer from behind a white mule plowing under cockle burrs, but I'm a prince with God. And I know it, and the poor devil knows it. I'm somebody arrived. Hallelujah. And I walked in here tonight. Destiny was at work. This bunch of people was destined to hear this old preacher tell you, you got the best thing in the world. Live it up, baby. Hallelujah. You believe it? Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Our hurting world needs spiritual healers for lost and confused lives. They need it. They need you. Get yourself straightened out if you're not straightened out yet, where you can think straight and think positive. And not crawfish, but stand up and be all that you are. You'll have to get used to yourself. You know, you've been used to being intimidated all the time and ashamed to talk up and speak up. When you speak, your voice trembles and all that. Get over that. Wake up. You're a kingdom person. The world is waiting for you. Hey, why did God make every face different? Every nose a different shape? I don't know. But there's something about me that some folks like. And something about my face that some folks don't like. And same with you. Your face is different. God gave you a thumbprint, your face. And some folks like the way you sound and like the way you talk, and some folks don't. Well, you can't help it if they don't, but find the ones that do. And you can increase that number by saying good things and loving people and healing people and blessing people and lifting people. Hallelujah. You can do it. You make your world your surrounding. It reflects you. The world around you is mean. You know, we don't like to say it, but maybe they learned it somewhere. You know, so don't do that. Don't do that. The world needs miracle healers. All kinds of them. The world waits for our song. The world waits for our smile. They wait for our words. Our words are healing words. We talk like Christ, and the world is hurting. And we are the masters. Do you believe it? Jesus, his call is still, follow me, come to me, imitate me. Realize my ideas, understand my dream, discover my priority to heal people, and then you will really live like I planned for you to live. Hallelujah. He said to his followers, let's cross over to the other side. I preached on it once in one of Brother Hagin's conventions. Let's cross over. I think he's still saying to let's cross over to the other side. Don't you? And we're crossing over to the other side. We're opening China. Listen, what's coming out of this church is going to open China. China is going to open. China is going to open. Do you hear me? It's got to happen because we are the people of God and we're coming. Hallelujah. 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 So let's go. Let's go to the other side. Young people. Learn another language. I told the board meeting today, I've written two letters this week to Japan, to two preachers that speak English. And I've told them, I said, make a main part of your outreach in Japan that you teach English. Teach English. They've got to learn English in order to go anywhere and get an interpreter. Who can interpret Japanese? Nobody knows Japanese. No, but they've got to learn English before the Scandinavians have done that for generations. God bless the Scandinavians. They always have to learn English before they can get an interpreter to the mission field where they travel to. You know, so the Japanese have got to catch on to that. Their car companies, their entrepreneurial companies, their secular companies, they pick out certain people from among them, certain nice potential people, and they send them off and train them until they're fluent in English. Then they send them overseas to run their factories. The Church of Japan has got to do that. We've got to get English classes going all over Japan, and then them Japanese are going to come after us. Hallelujah. And they're the loving people of the world. You believe that? You believe that? We can't let them die within the confounds of one country. You know what I told the Japanese? Jesus is bigger than Japan alone. You can't afford to just stay in Japan. We're after them, Pastor. We're going to get them. Glory to God. So go as early settlers. Learn a language. I can speak French. I can speak English and Spanish. An old guy like me, and I keep learning. You never get too old to learn.
Keep going. Go to a country. Pack your bags. Hallelujah. Practice your business and preach Jesus. My goodness, how long have they been lining up? The Russians have been lining up to buy McDonald hamburgers. Yeah. And they line up to buy Bibles and Testaments if we'll put them there. Fire conference. Hallelujah. Fire to do this thing. That's what we're all about. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay, I turned the last page and I saw something. I'm glad I saw it. I wrote it there so I wouldn't forget it. Little Simeon in Africa, in Kenya, was born without eyes. Born without eyes. Couldn't see, blind. His little mama, little village woman, heard about the preaching and brought little Simeon and held him in her arms, and Simeon was healed. You know, we can't understand that, but it's a miracle. But here's the thing. It's a tragedy to be born blind. But what's a greater tragedy is to be born with good eyesight and never see. That's the big tragedy. We got to look. We got to see. Say, my eyes are made to see. My ears are made to hear. I am made to do something. I started to say go. I didn't want to scare you. To do something. We can do something. Nobody's too old. Nobody's too young. In our early ministry, we prayed for a little waterhead baby. It was 36 inches around, 36 inches. And about 4 weeks, that baby's head was normal. It was a miracle. God did it. See, God never fails. That's a tragedy to be born demented like that. But what's a worse tragedy? Is to be born normal and not understand the opportunities that are ours to reach people. Let's not be that. You know that in years past, and maybe way back in the villages of Nigeria, of Africa, they still do it. There's witch doctors. They practice some terrible things. They're illegal. They shouldn't be anymore. But way back, they still do it. A lot of witchcraft. But sometimes in past, there's an idea that every family is supposed to have one cripple to be a beggar. Now, I may not be getting this just right. Excuse me, Nigerians. And that don't mean everybody. I'm saying way back in the village. But when I first went there, it was rampant. And so they'll break the bones and or put out the eyes. That's a tragedy. But what is worse is to be born in the family of God with good legs and not use them, and good eyes and not see, and good arms and not embrace somebody. We are the people of God. You believe it? I think it would be appropriate to ask you. I hesitate to do this because all of you will want to get in on it. You wouldn't be at this fire conference if you didn't all want what I'm going to talk about. But we're healers. Don't do it yet. I'm just talking. I'm trying to see how to work. Would you like to be a healer? Do you want to heal people? Do you believe you can heal people? Do you believe Christ in you can heal people? I think it would be appropriate at the finale of this wonderful conference that I think it would amount to something, it would say something to God if you left your seat and come up here and stood saying, Lord, you died for me publicly. I want to come and take my stand publicly. I want to heal people. I want to let you loose in me. Let's ask for the young people first. Let's let those under 25
Let them be the first ones. Wouldn't that be a nice idea? Those that want to come up here and you want to be a healer. What I've said tonight has had some effect on you. This is touching to me. This is touching to me. This is touching to me. This is what is going to open China. This is opening China. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, close your eyes. Say, Lord Jesus, you went to the cross for me. You bore all of my sins. You took all of my diseases. You endured my judgment. You set me free from the enemy. You paid my bill. Thank you, Lord. You came back from the dead to show me that I can come back from the dead. You live, so I live. The life of Christ in me gives me divine life. Thank you, Father. You are in me. You are working through me. Teach me your way. Guide me your way. Hallelujah. I've come forward tonight. And I take my stand at the front in this church. And I want the angels of heaven to know. And I want every devil to know. Here I stand. A healer of my generation. Hallelujah. Full of the Holy Ghost. Anointed of God. It is written in the book. Behold, I come to do your will. Thank you, Lord. You and me are connected. Nothing can stop us. Hallelujah. The world is ours. In the name of Jesus Christ. I give you my life, Lord. All that I have is yours. I open my heart. Come and live in me. Establish your lifestyle in me. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You have been listening to Dr. T.L. Osborne. You may write for a complete list of the Osborne's books, messages, and seminar courses on video or audio. All the address you need is The Osborne's, Box 10, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74102, or visit our websites at www.osborne.org or www.winministry.org or www.internationalgospelcenter.org. God bless you.